Christians to understand is that there is a time and a season for everything.
Amen.
And it's not always that we're always synced up at the same time. In other words, somebody may be going through a season of sadness and we're going through a season of gladness, and we're wanting to know why they're not glad and they're wanting to know why we're not sad. And so what can happen is sometimes it can create a rub between us as individuals, because we don't realize God may be doing something in their life. You know how we as Christians are. We're very bad at thinking when somebody is going through a time of sadness, it must be because of something they did wrong. We just know it has to be God's judgment or they would be happy like we are. But if you've been around for a while, you know that not one of us could say, I'll let you sit down in just a second, not one of us could say that there has not been times where we have been glad and we hope that it stays glad, but we know, matter of time, it's going to get bad.
Right.
That's just how life is.
Right. Yeah.
Now, we understand that according to what the Bible teaches very clearly, we know that God has things of suffering for us to go through, because that's what He uses to give us a reward. So those things do work together for our good. But when you're going through those things...
Amen.
If I might say, when other people are going up and you're going down, or when other people are riding the top part and you're down getting pummeled by the wave and getting smeared into the sand, it's real kind of hard to not get bitter at those riding the crest and to understand, what am I doing under the dirt when they're up there on the mountain? All right, now watch what happens. This is kind of like a submarine sermon or something, you might say. And, you know, I might call it going down to get the opportunity to go up. The way up is down, according to the Bible.
Yeah.
If you look at what the Bible teaches you very, very clearly, you're simply passing through here. But God wants to use the opportunity while you're here to promote you when you get there.
Amen.
But the promotion process is not the normal process.
Right.
Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season. You're a thing, according to what the Bible teaches in the New Testament, a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Verse number 9, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherewith he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. Father, I pray that you might bless this service and bless this portion of Bible reading. Bless these people that have helped me and provoked me to do the things that need to be done. Now, God, I pray that you might return what they have already invested by being here today, that you might give back to them what they have laid up for themselves. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. God said that there's something for everybody at a certain time. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter number 6, and then we're going to come back to the book of Jeremiah. Luke chapter number 6. There's a principle sometimes that people misunderstand in this passage that I'm going to give to you to show you something. I want to show you that sometimes the investment that you make, you don't always see the dividends of that investment in the here and now. Sometimes we know it's in the hereafter.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't realize you've made an investment and you don't understand that God is giving you the returns on that investment here and now. You just might not recognize it as a return on an investment that you've already made. For instance, you have sacrificed this morning your time. You have decided to invest into a church service. So what I believe is God then reciprocates by trying His best to give you something out of the pulpit this morning. Notice what the Bible says, verse number 27. He said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Ouch. Do good to them which hate you. Can you get on past that? Well, okay, let's go to the next verse. It's got to be better. Bless them that curse you. Oh, it's got to get better than that. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Lord, really? Are you kidding me? Those are difficult things. I'm not going to preach to you on that today. I'm just saying There's a time and a season in your growth as a Christian where you have to grow beyond yourself. There's a time where you have to stop making it all about you and realize that, guess what? I'm going to get tested in areas that I don't even know the answers to the questions, and I don't even know those things exist down in me until God brings them my way to give me an opportunity to show me something about me that I'm no more like Christ than I thought I was. Notice what he says. He says in verse number 29, "And unto him that smiteth thee in one cheek, offer also the other." That's tough.
Right. Amen.
You say, "Well, but preacher, you know, that's in the Beatitudes, and that has to do with the Constitution." Yeah, but let's make a practical application.
Right. Amen.
Let's understand that there's a principle that's being taught, that there is something more going on here than just the confrontation between human beings. We need to realize that if we're going to be spiritual, we have to stop making it about us.
Amen.
And learn to make it about not those we love, but those that don't love us. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, give every man... he says this. He says, also, him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat. Also, in other words, give him your outer garment, and then give him your coat also. Give it every man that asketh thee, and him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also them likewise. Is that the Bible? Well, so I'm going to show you a principle here in just a second, but I want to ask you a question. Are we getting what we're putting in? In my case, I have to say the Bible's true. Sometimes I expect to get something I have not put in. Do you understand? Because I think I should be receiving it, but the Lord said, but you don't have a bank to draw from. You never invested that. You come to the bank and it's like you put your little ATM in and you punch in what you want to withdraw, and the thing, you know, sends out the red flashing light, you know, zero balance, you can't withdraw this and that and the other. And the next thing you know, the guy comes out there and says, you know, is that your card and all that? It must be mine, there's nothing in it. Well, if there's nothing in it, let me ask you a question. Did you expect to withdraw something that you didn't have? You see, sometimes what happens is we're so easily offended because we expect to withdraw something that is not there, including sometimes spiritual nurturing from the Lord. And the Lord's like, well, let me ask you a question. Have you spent any time nurturing others? Well, no, Lord, but I just expect to be nurtured. The Lord's like, well, hold on just a second. Because notice what he says in this particular passage. He goes a little bit further. I hope this is helping you. He says, for if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? I mean, in other words, I love my wife. She loves me. What's the big deal? That doesn't prove anything. I get something reciprocal out of that. And the Lord says this. He says, for sinners also love those that love them. In other words, lost people do that. What makes you different than a lost person? They love people that love them. How about you loving people that don't love you? I'm going to throw up. That's like, wow, that is like, you don't have to yell that one from the mountaintop. That makes me sick. But the Lord's trying to show you a principle in just a second. If you can't do that, how do you expect it to be done to you? Watch what the Bible says. The Bible said, I'll get it there in a second. I sound like Porky Pig. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye have ye? For sinners do also even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend and hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
Amen.
Get the context?
Yep.
Was he kind to the unthankful?
Yes, sir.
Was to me.
Amen.
Was he kind to the evil?
Sir.
Was to me. Now, I'm not. You say he just called me unthankful and evil. I don't want to offend you this morning, at least not yet. Give me about 15 minutes. But right now, listen, let me explain something to you. God now pulls himself into the passage as the measuring stick. No longer the measuring stick people. Now he pulls himself into the passage and he says this to you and me. He says, listen, that's what I did for you when I clothed myself in flesh, when I came down here and left, and we don't even understand the magnitude and greatness of what he did leave. When I left that greatness and clothed myself in flesh and dwelt among you, and I'll show you in a minute in the book of Isaiah, and endured the horribleness, the awfulness, the disgusting disgrace and shame of the cross, I loved them that were unthankful and evil. And you think that what I'm asking you to do is greater than what I did? That's kind of what he's kind of saying, sort of sarcastically, like, are you kidding me? That I'm asking too much of you? Because what he's saying is that, do you know what it took for me to love you? So how about applying that when it comes to you loving others? Well, I only love them if they love me. The Lord said, well, you're not a very good Christian. You're not like me at all. Because I loved the ones that didn't love me, that hated me, that despised me, that were evil, that were full of sin. I took all of their sin upon me. Are you with me? And he said, listen, I love them like that. What's your problem? And it is our problem. We love, as I mentioned last week, and I don't know, maybe it didn't get out or get across, but we love those that fit our prejudicial mode. We love those that fit our preferential mode. We love those that fit our profile, as I mentioned last week. Those are the ones we're like, oh, I love them. Why? They're like me. You're loving yourself. The hardest thing to do is to love people that ain't like you. You say, why? Because see, when you love somebody that's like you, the truth of the matter is, you're loving yourself. That's not the Lord's love. The Lord's love is different. The Lord is like, I love you. You ain't nothing like me. He doesn't look down there and go, wow, now there's a great guy. You know what? He's so much like me. I love him. I know he's going to love me. That ain't what he does. He looks down and says, that is evil and wicked and full of sin and hateful. I love you. But he makes a correlation by inserting. Do you see him put himself in the passage to make sure that he knows us down here in 2013. He looks down there and said, hey, 3857 Harley Road, I know what's going to happen. Yeah. They're going to read that passage and say, oh, well, I found Mother Teresa who loves people and all this. So we're going to look to Mother Teresa. The Lord said, no, I don't want you looking at a person, because a person has to learn to look at me, not be idolized.
Amen.
So what I want to do is I'm going to interject myself into the passage to show you what the standard of measurement is.
Yep.
How are you doing? Mm-hmm. Preacher, I can't get along with anybody. You know what? If you're a Christian, you should be able to get along with anybody.
Amen.
You say, no way, just a minute, preacher. Didn't he?
Amen.
See, you just divorce yourself. He's like, I'm saved now and everything's fine. Yeah, but you forgot before you were saved. You know what he did? He said, I love you.
Amen.
He didn't say, I love you after you're saved. He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said he loved you in the condition you were in.
Yes.
Now, how about you? We're going to get to the subterranean stuff here in just a minute. Because the real test, the real measure today of Christianity is not, do you not smoke? Do you not drink? Do you not cuss? Do you not do this? Do you do whatever standard you put on it? I've seen them put everything in the world on it. It has nothing to do with that. Do you love like the Lord loves? Do you trust Him like He trusted the Father?
Amen.
Notice what the Bible says, if you would please, in verse number 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also was merciful. Remember last week I mentioned give Him the benefit of the doubt? Give him a break. Be merciful. You say, why? I'm going to show you why in just a minute. Because in this passage that's always made monetary, we have yet to hit a monetary issue at all. There's no money yet at all in the passage.
Amen.
So don't worry. You can lean over on your wallet. I'm not after your money here this morning. Watch what he says. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, you know what that passage says. He says, in whatsoever manner you judge, it shall be meted or given unto you, distributed unto you. In other words, the way that I do it, if I do it honestly, if I do it fairly, if I do it mercifully, then it'll be given back to me in that measure. But if I do it dishonestly and unmercifully, I get that back also. So the judgment comes on me because of my judgment toward others. Go a little further and see if you get this. Verse number 38. Give. Give what? Not money here. Forgiveness, mercy, grace, long-suffering. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, you distribute, you give out, with all it shall be measured, distributed to you again. Is it any wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that the fact of the matter is we all talk about the Bible running the universe, but the fact of the matter is it does? And is it any matter that oftentimes the things that we complain so much about, God clearly lays out for us in the Bible, and He clearly says to you, listen, you're only getting what you sowed. You're only getting what I handed it to you. You only distributed what I gave you, but you didn't distribute it properly. You buried it in the ground over here and didn't do anything with it, so I'm not going to give you any more. And guess what? When you need it, that ain't the time to say, oh, I wish I had used it.
That's right.
So what happens to us oftentimes is we get upset because, well, why isn't God doing this for me? And why hadn't God done that for me? And the Lord's like, well, because I told you in the Bible, I'm going to give you according to how you distributed what I already gave you.
Amen.
If you took the 10 and went out and did something with it, hey, I'll give you 10 more helpings of grace to help you through what you're going through. Or the 5. But if you took it and buried it, hey, when your time comes that you need it, guess what? Can't do it. Judgment seat of Christ, it's time for me to be judgmental. It's time for me to be strict. It's time for me to be, as the Bible says, austere. It's not the time for me to say, oh, hey, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and give you another helping. It's time for me to reward every man according to what he hath done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
So by the time we get there, the Lord's like, listen, I gave you some time, I gave you some ability, I gave you the ability to be merciful and gracious and long-suffering. Hey, how'd you do with that down there? Because now you want the reward. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now what you want is you want to see the reward down, and the Lord's like, well, there's nothing in your bank.
That's good.
See, you thought it was all about, now don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, telling everybody about the Lord and passing out tracts. I'm for that 1,000,000%.
Amen.
But be careful not to let that replace God's teaching to you about how you treat people that don't like you.
Amen.
There's a lot more in the Bible about how you treat one another than there is about making sure they know about Him.
Amen.
You know why? Because He knows it's a problem. So we want to have mercy and grace from other people, but we've shown no mercy and grace to other people. And the Lord just said, sorry, there's nothing in your account. In the Bible, we always use Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and I know the context of the passage. I know it has to do with teaching and those kind of things, but there's also a practical example of that or illustration. And that practical example is the Bible is still true. We do reap what we sow. The problem is you don't get to pick when the harvest comes in.
Right.
Because there's a time and a season for everything. You don't know if tomorrow you're going to need a double helping of grace.
Right. Amen.
So what you do is you go ahead, like sowing in a field, like planting a crop, you go ahead now and plant the crop and then put some of it up so that when time comes and there's no food, you got a little bit laid up. Because tomorrow you might need mercy.
Amen.
You might need long suffering. Tomorrow your boss might be born in the objective case and the kick of the moon and weaned on a dill pickle and picked at crabapple time might just be having a bad day. And you're thinking, man, today is not the day to mess with me, and Lord, I need some grace, and Lord, I need some mercy, and I need this job, but I'm about ready to Tommy Hawk him. And the Lord says, well, I'd like to give that to you, but there's a problem. You're asking for something you haven't invested. But Lord, I go to church and I read my Bible and I study and I pray and I pass out tracts and I go to the nursing home and I preach on the street. And that's great. That's marvelous. That's not what we're talking about. Don't confuse the two. That doesn't take the place that when you're going through trouble and you need God's help, God immediately looks and says, can I ask you a question? Did you help somebody when they were needing some help?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Preacher, that's good. Amen.
That's right. I mean, the ones that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you were making a point with. The ones that you use to constantly keep them in bondage or hold. Did you? Oh, okay, I see. So now you're wanting help from me. But what I'm going to do is I'm just simply, I figure from watching you, I know how you want to be treated. So I'm going to treat you the same way you treat others because it's in the same passage, as you would that men should do to you. Do you likewise? Why did he put that in there? Can I just tell you that he might be watching what we do with other people to determine how it is we want to be treated? And if that's the case, you know what I did? I'm like, oh man, it's ammonia in the nostrils time. I'm like, you mean you expect to be treated any differently than you're treating others?
Amen. That's tough stuff.
You know what I had to say? You know what I had to say, brother? I had to say, yeah. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm like, yeah, I do. The Lord says, why? You a big shot or something? Who do you think you are? I came down here. Take your Bible, if you will. Let me show you a couple of things. Does this make any sense to you at all?
Yes,
look in Isaiah chapter number 52. We have a responsibility and to learn to, you know, to be kind to the nuts. You never know them when the fruit and trees and all that other stuff dries up. You never know. You might, you know, need one of them.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 52. God set an example so that when God goes to the cross at Calvary, God sets an example and God knows that the Father is going to be with Him in fellowship with Him because of His actions and because of His faith during His time here on earth. So the Lord was kind even to those that persecuted Him.
That's right.
Yes or no?
Amen.
The Lord was kind to those that put Him on the cross. The Lord was kind of, you know what He said? You know what the Lord's statement was? You hung me on the cross. I'm up here naked. I'm in shame. I'm embarrassed. People are laughing and mocking at me and those kind of things. He's got the power in thought to destroy everybody.
Right. Amen.
You know what He says? Father, forgive them. It took Him a long time to say that, one word at a time, because He has to press up and down because of the asphyxiation going on. But the point that I'm making to you is that God's not asking us to do something He didn't do. And don't come back at me with that argument while He's gone. Because you'll find it shown true in the apostles. You find it shown true with Job and you find it with David. David, listen, David started to kill Goliath. They made him captain over thousands. And then guess what happened? He's after he's been anointed. He gets demoted into a cave. He goes from being captain over thousands and looking like he's on the skyrocket rise to political fame. And you know what they do? They put him in the cave.
Right. Amen.
You know what they said? You're anointed of God. Boy, you're something special. We're going to make you in the spotlight. The next thing you know what happened? God's way was to take him and put him in the cave.
Amen.
You say, why? Later on, at the end of his life, he comes out okay. But God's way of promotion is subterranean. God's way of promotion is through the mud. Excuse me. God's way of promotion is through the mire. I'll show you that in Jeremiah if I can get there. I'm trying to hurry because I'm trying to be respectful of your time. But I want you to understand a principle. The principle is that God's saying, I'm watching how you deal with and treat others, and it is a mirror when you go through trouble and trials. It helps you to reflect and see where you stand according to where me and you are. Because when you're going through trials, it don't matter how you are with everybody else. It matters how you're getting along with God.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter number 52, the Bible says this in verse number 14. Verse number 13. Behold my servant, that be Jesus, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled to be and very high, be very high. And many were astonied at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Jump over to 53 in the interest of time. Look in verse number 6. Verse 5, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace is laid upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one in his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the iniquity of us all. Let me get this in context for you. Come to Hebrews chapter number 12, so that you'll understand how filthy this was for him. The off-scouring that it was for him. The way that it made him feel, the way that it looked to the Father. Hebrews chapter 12. It was no small thing. Sometimes when we have attitude problems, it is because we think what God did for us was a small thing. Sometimes we lose the perspective of what God did for us when He came down here. Not just the physical abuse, but the most filthy, nasty, degrading thing you can think of.
Right.
Being put on absolute perfect purity.
Amen. That's
what it was. Amen. The most horrible thing you can think of that would nauseate you to think of. Put on something that's perfect. Our iniquity, my iniquity, everything I have ever done and ever thought, put on Him. You're going to get the context in just a minute, and you're going to feel guilty, and you should. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm saying it'll help you in dealing with people that you don't like. If you get the proper context of what He did for you.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 12. Notice what the Bible says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, the end of it, endured the cross. Despising the shame. Now, I had to stop because it's set off by commas. He despised the shame set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But stop for a second. The Bible says He despised the shame. He was disgusted by it. Embarrassed beyond measure. Embarrassed is not even a good word. Despising is that hateful, that nauseating, that I just detest that. Despising the shame of being dirtied up by our sin. He didn't do it. He didn't ask for it. But what He did was is He took that on Him so that He could save me. So He forgave me of things I had yet to even ask to be forgiven of. And then after He saved me, He forgave me of things that He knew I would commit even after I got saved. Because He had already died for them.
Amen.
Disgusting things. You with me?
Amen.
You know what he's trying to get across to us here? The cross was not a picnic for me. I was ashamed. Hebrews chapter number 2. I was ashamed. I was disgusted by it. So let's think about this for a second. He comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And everybody's looking going, this is it. He's going to take the throne. We're all good, man. He's going to take the throne. Now we know from reading our Bible He's going to the cross. But they think in their mind, He's going to take the throne. In their mind, hey, He's going to be in charge now. He's going to be the king. We're going to be up there. Everything's going to be all good. Imagine their dismay when God the Father's way of promotion was, you got to die. No. You don't get the throne. There's a cost for that crown. And it's a cross. And guess what? You're going to die now, but you ain't going to see it for a couple thousand years or more. You don't get to right now be vindicated. You're going to come up from the dead and you're going to be seen of about 500, and those were your followers anyway. But guess what? They're going to be talking about you and laughing about you and mocking you and making fun of you, and that if you really were the king, why aren't you here and why didn't you take the throne? And they're going to turn your story into a parable and they're going to make fun of you. And all. So let me just tell you that, you know, that throne you're thinking you're getting, you're going to die first. And it's going to be a long time before you're promoted to that. Are you staying with me?
Yes,
sir. See, our attitude is like the apostles, I think. Not so, Lord. The Lord says, oh, you want to be promoted? Sure, I want to be promoted. Are you kidding me? Get called up to the office, the third floor, go in there to the meeting with the big boss. You want to be promoted? Sure. Okay, well, we got a cross right out here for you. You don't have to work in the basement first. Hey, Jeremiah, you want to be promoted and taken care of by the Babylonian king? Absolutely I do. Well, we got a pit over here full of miry clay. You're going to be despised and hated by everybody. And you're warning them with the truth, Jeremiah. Hey, David, listen, I know you killed Goliath. Woo, you're a great champion. Killed a bear, killed a lion, killed all these Philistines. You're now the captain over 1,000. I'm sorry, Saul is mad at you. He's upset with you. Even though you're anointed, he's going to throw javelins at you. Hey, David, guess what? King Saul is going to demote you and put you in a cave. I thought I was being promoted. The Lord said, you are. It's just my way of promotion is different, are you hearing me, than the world's way of promotion.
Amen.
Hey, Joseph, you know what? One day you're going to have all them sheaves bowing down and worshiping you. The Lord says, you mean I'm going to get promoted? Joseph says, you mean I'm going to get promoted? I'm going to be somebody big. All my brothers are going to come down and bow down to me and all that. The Lord said, yes, you are. And he said, by the way, there's a pit out there. And then slavery out there. And then false accusations out there. And then prison out there. And then being betrayed out there. Oh yeah, and by the way, one day you're going to come out there. But going to be a while, Joe. Don't tell me that Joseph did not think when he was going through that time that he's like, this is a funny way of being promoted. I ain't getting this. This doesn't make any sense to me.
Amen.
You ever had this question? Why, God? How come they moved me here when I knew I was headed there? The Lord says, yeah, but that was them promoting you. I'm promoting you.
Amen.
What? Yeah, see, they can't see eternity and they don't know what I got planned for you. They don't know where we're going and what we got going. They got no concept of what's happening. So here's what I need you to understand. You can let them go ahead and put you there, or you can let me put you where you need to be. And when you get to eternity, you'll have something laid up. And when it comes to other people and how they treat you, you got a greater opportunity to learn some things about what I did for you over here than you do over there. Hey, Job. Yeah, Lord, you're going to be a great man. Thank you. Appreciate that. Oh, by the way, you're going to lose all your kids and lose all your cattle and lose all your servants, and your wife's going to turn against you. You're going to lose your health and you're going to lose your friends because they're all going to come to you and say, something's wrong with you. But Job, I just want you to know, it's all good. I'm going to promote you. What? Are you getting the concept? God's way of promoting things, sometimes what we think is, oh, they're in trouble with God. They did something wrong. They did something bad. They did something terrible. God's punishing them. No, God might be promoting them. God might be moving them up. God might be doing something for them. But His way is subterranean. It's to knock that edge off, that pride off. And listen, when you're going through trouble like this, that ain't the time to be questioning and leaving the will of God. Head down to the bar and get drunk because times are tough.
Right. Amen.
That's not the time to pack up and be moving and saying, I'm done with this whole thing. Don't think it ain't crossed my mind.
Right. Amen.
I don't drink and I ain't, but there have been times I thought, you know, Lord, I don't get this. And the Lord's like, you ain't supposed to get it. You're supposed to trust me. Yeah, but Lord, this don't make no sense to me. You're selfish. Did you expect to be treated differently than you treat others? Apparently you did. So I bring a little promotion opportunity your way, and look at you. Your nose is all out of joint because I'm just simply giving to you what's best for you. And I might just be treating you like you've been treating others. You know what we want to do? I'm leaving! I'm out! I'm done! Finished! Why? Because God didn't give you your pacifier? You pitched a fit and God didn't give you your bottle? And then when you got the bottle, it's cold and you don't want it? I'm trying to help you. Even all y'all up there, I'm trying to get it all the way up there to you. Hebrews chapter number 2. God's way of promotion is different than our way of thinking. God's way is always down. Listen to me. When He went up to heaven, is not He that ascended, He that descended first in the lower parts of the earth. But could I remind you, this same God who was up in heaven, in order for Him to get the throne that He already had, He descended, dwelt in a body of flesh, and conquered death out by dying. By going through it, He had victory over it.
Amen. Amen.
By going through those things that happen with people, you get victory over it.
Amen.
Watch Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2, the Bible says this, verse 14. The Bible says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage."
Amen.
You know, He said there's a time, there's a season, there's an opportunity. Yeah, there's time for happiness, but there's some time for some sadness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's better for you in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 to go the way of mourning than to go to the house of mirth. You say, why? Because that makes you realize the seriousness of what's going on. It teaches you things that you can't learn during times of happiness.
Amen.
It teaches you things about yourself, your heart.
Amen.
He doesn't say that your heart is affected. Just come to Ecclesiastes 7. Let me show you this. I got a few more places to go. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. God says there's a way for me to teach you, and guess what it is? Trouble, trials, tribulation, suffering, persecution, trouble with people you don't like. It's easy for me to forgive people that like me. It's hard for me to forgive people that don't like me. Thank you. Brother Kim's the only one like me. The rest of you just take a nap. We'll be back in a minute. So we ought to be more spiritual than that. Yeah, but when I get to looking at the Bible, I realize the more I look at it, the more unspiritual I realize I am. The longer I'm in it, the less I know. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse number 2. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For it is the end of all men. The living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance... Did you read the rest of it? The heart's made better. Well, I want to have a better heart. Lord said, you really want to have a better heart? It's like you just heard Sister Soprano say, well, the Lord changed plans. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. But my husband was ill and had to have a multitude of surgeries and is disabled, and so the Lord saw fit to change plans. I wasn't all... I was like, really, Lord? All I ever wanted to do was be with my kids. That's a good goal. There's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. Really, Lord? What? Yeah, well, I got a game changer for you. He's going to be down. You're going to be the one earning the living.
Wow.
There's some people that would teach that she's out of the will of God because she's out working and he's supposed to be working. He can't work. What's she supposed to do? Divorce him?
Amen.
No.
They don't think when they shoot their... I'm sorry. That's a whole other thing. Here's my point. God says, I know a better way of promotion for you, sister. You said you wanted to know some things about faith. I got a way to teach you that, but it's not the way that you got mapped out for yourself. Hey, I got a way, ladies and gentlemen, to teach you something that you need, but you can't script it. I have a special way, a special map, a special script for each one of you individually, but I'm telling you now, to the rest of the world and even to most Christians, it's going to look like, man, what in the cat hair is going on? Because they're going to look at it like they looked at Jeremiah in the pit, like Joseph in prison, like the Apostle Paul, blinded and then put on the backside of the desert. Here's a good one for you. How about Moses? Moses, you messed up. I'm going to put you on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Well, Lord, I thought you wanted your people delivered. You ain't ready yet. I got another script for you. I'm going to send you to the backside of the desert. And right when you get comfortable with the script, okay, I'm a sheep herder, I'm over here, I met my wife, got a couple kids, I'm good to go, this is going to be my life. The Lord says, hey, remember Egypt? Yeah, I'm ready to send you back. Excuse me? Bad connection. Well, while you're talking to me, take your cotton picking shoes off. Because you're talking to me now. This ain't a man you're speaking to, and I don't do things the way a man does. I said, I'm ready for you to go back over to Egypt.
Amen.
I know exactly what I'm doing, when I'm doing it. Lord, that don't make no sense. I'm 80 now. So? Do you see?
Amen.
That we wouldn't script it. That we'd be like, get somebody young, man. Bring a Joshua in there or somebody. Moses is dead and gone and over the hill. Lord's like, nah, he's just right. He's just ready to come out of the oven and to amount to something. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Let's go just a couple more places, and I'll try to wrap this thing up for you. Look, if you will, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38. You beginning to get the concept? Moses goes to the desert. He comes through the dirt. Jeremiah chapter 38. David gets demoted, goes into the cave, winds up in the palace. Here's a good one for you. Let me get Jeremiah 38. There it is. He'll come here in just a second. I can see him in my mind. Elijah. His script was, do what I tell you to do. Go hide yourself by the brook and then go show yourself and help the woman out and give woman to Zarephath. And then I'm going to have you run across Ahab and it's not going to rain. Now it's going to rain and we're going to have a big show. And in his mind, he's got the script. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to be obedient to God and either they're going to kill me or God's going to do something. And you know what happens on Mount Carmel. Is that right?
Amen.
Stay with me. We're almost done. I promise. I really do. I promise. I'm trying to go fast. Watch. He gets up there. You know what? What you know by reading the next chapter is what he expected when he got up after the mountaintop.
Right.
You see, what he thought was is that after the mountaintop, who could dare deny a great revival because of what God had done?
Amen.
In his mind, hey, I know what God's fixing to do and how he's going to handle this situation. The fact of the matter is Elijah is thinking, how come they're not having me in for dinner and why am I not been vindicated that our God's the right God and why am I not being appreciated like I ought to be appreciated? Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's hanging around me. Nobody's saying to you, man, that was a great sermon. Boy, I saw you bring fire down from God. Boy, hallelujah, glory to God. That's really something. They run in their house and slam the doors and here's the old preacher over there going, man, what's the deal? And there's a knock at the door. And he goes to the door and says, oh, here it is. Oh, there's the invitation. They're going to have a special dinner for me at the palace. No, you're going to be the dinner.
Yeah.
You talk about a roast, you're going to be the roast. You're going to be roasted.
Yeah.
If by this time tomorrow I don't do to you what you did to my prophets, my name ain't Jesse. Right? You know what he does? He reads that and he says, Lord, that's not scripted. That don't make no sense to me at all. The Lord said, yeah, well, see, Elijah, there's something that you need that you don't know you need. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use you in a different way, but you got to go through something first. It's something you hadn't been through before. You're going to have to go through depression and discouragement. He'd been through loneliness. He'd been over there for 3 years, 3.5 years, over there by the Brook Kidron with birds dropping Hardee's bags off to him and the water springing up for him every day. Right? He ain't had nobody to talk to. He was alone, no problem. Right? So he knew about loneliness. What he didn't get was, why are they doing me like this? Why does she want to kill me? It's raining now. What did I do except what God told me to do?
Right.
And this is the appreciation? It's enough now, Lord. Just let me die. Lord's like, well, now we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fix and have revival. I've looked at that passage so many times, brother. I get to look at that thing. I get to thinking to myself, man, that's a great man of God with all kind of power and all kind of ability and stuff. Like I'm thinking, what's going on? The Lord said, he's thinking about himself. He's disappointed because the people didn't fulfill his expectations. And I did not do what he thought I was going to do. There's another fellow in the Bible by the name of Jonah. You remember Jonah?
Amen.
You know what Jonah did when he goes over and he preached? And he must have had some power and preaches. When he came out of the Whale Puke University and he gets up there and as he begins to preach and stuff like the people actually, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. That is a dream for a preacher. Everybody in the whole town repents, including the animals. They're like, hey, man, the animals are over there. They're going, ee-haw, ee-haw. That means put some sackcloth on me too, man. No, I don't want nothing to eat. The horse is going, nay, nay, nay. That's like, no, I don't want anything to eat. I mean, the king made even the animals fast and put on. I mean, that's like, wow, you talk about. And there's like 8 words in his sermon. If there was ever power on a preacher, that man, I'm like, he preaches 8 times. They're like, we get it. We repent.
Amen.
And now it's flipped. Jonah didn't want him to repent. He wanted him to be killed. And he's like, I can't believe this. They deserve to die. The Lord says, have a seat there under the gourd. Jonah's like, I can't believe you did this. And all of a sudden the worm comes and eats the gourd and he's out there in the sun and he's just out there and he's just blistering mad. The Lord's like, see, Jonah, you don't understand. I don't do things the way you do things.
Yeah.
I'm glad they repented because there's some people there that out of ignorance, they didn't even know what they were doing. They didn't even know their right hand from their left hand. They're a little kid. They're just stupid. They don't know nothing. And guess what? You preached and they got it. What a blessing. I'm working on a sermon because I want to preach a sermon about the greatest sermon ever preached and everybody's, oh, it'd be John the Baptist, it'd be this. No, it's Jonah. He made the whole town repent. He's greater than Billy Sunday. He's greater than anybody.
Amen.
But he fell into the great preacher's greatest trap. The people didn't respond like I thought they should respond. Man, I thought I preached a great sermon. Nobody came to the altar. Nobody got right. People were laughing and texting each other. Well, sure wish he'd get done. Yeah, me too. Can't wait for him to get finished with this. Yeah, he's really boring. What a drag, man. Look at him over there. Red face. He looks like a Q-tip stuck in iodine. I know, I can't believe that. Or they do it this way. They don't even have to look at him anymore. It's kind of like, you know, it's like almost like on Braille. Amen. So what happens is here Elijah is really upset because the expectation was, man, Israel's going to repent. It's going to be awesome. None of them do anything, and now Jesse's after him, and he said, you know what, Lord, I'm done. What good am I anyway? I'm going to Juniper Junction. I'm going to the University of the Juniper Tree. I'm going to lay down and die. What's the point? And the Lord shows up. And he doesn't rebuke him. He said, now, Elijah, you're ready for the rest of the journey. You wouldn't have been ready for what I'm going to do with you later on unless you'd have had this experience. So you can get bitter about it, or you can get better and understand that my way of promotion is not the way of everybody else's promotion.
Amen.
You with me? Here's Jeremiah. Last one, we'll close. I'm just a couple minutes after 12. We're doing pretty good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Jeremiah chapter 38. Pick it up in verse number about 4 there, talking about his death, I think. Sorry, the Bible says this, verse 4. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of men that war that remain in the city and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. Now this is the message Jeremiah continued to preach. He told them, listen, give up, surrender to the enemy and you'll be protected because that's what God wanted him to do. These people are saying, uh-uh. We ain't surrendering to nobody. Jeremiah was saying, if you want to be a great nation, you got to surrender. They're saying, we're going to fight. Do you see the correlation?
Amen.
He's saying, if you want to be a great Christian, you know what you got to do? You got to surrender.
Amen.
I promise I'm trying. I'm not trying to bore you to death. I really am trying to make this where you understand it. The Bible said, for thus he weakened the hands of the men of the city. The word remained in the city and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. So what he's saying that God's telling them, they're receiving it out. He's trying to hurt me. He's trying to keep me from protecting myself. No, I'm just telling you. This is what God says you need to do.
Amen.
God said, put your weapons down. Go turn yourself in. I'll raise you up later on. But right now, you got to go into captivity. So what he's saying God wants is completely contrary to what they want.
Right.
It don't make sense. Because God's way is a way of surrender.
Amen.
Watch. And the Bible says this, then Zedekiah the king said, "Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Micaiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, the inner part of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon, there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. But Jeremiah did more than sink in the mire. Jeremiah said, "God, this don't make sense to me. I preached what you told me to preach. Or as a Christian, I lived like you told me to live. I did what you told me to do. And I'm in a miry pit. My wife's leaving me. My husband's leaving me. My kids are a mess. My health is a mess. My business is a mess." You put whatever you want to put in there. "Lord, I got trouble." The Lord said, "Good, I'm going to promote you." "Lord, everybody else is looking at me like I did something wrong." "Don't worry about them. You worry about me." "Yeah, but Lord, you don't understand. I mean, could you like let them in on it?" "No, it's between me and you. It's private. Because see, I know things about you that only me and you know about. And I even know some things about you even you don't know about yet.
Amen.
But I'm going to show you why you're down there in the pit.
Amen.
I'm going to show you your motive, and I'm going to show you that your reason, make you consider, would you still do what I told you to do if nobody supported you and dropped you in the mire? And everybody in the whole nation turned against you. Not one defender, not one. Nobody said, 'Oh, wait,' until the Babylonian king comes. And then he says, 'Go get that boy out of that pit.'" But he didn't know when that guy was coming. You don't know how long he was in the pit. You say, "What was it?" Promotion day. "Jeremiah, you're going down." "The Lord said I was going to get promoted. I'm His prophet. I mean, are you kidding? I'm the only one now speaking in the whole nation of Israel for God. I am the man." "Yeah, we got a special pot for you, man. Perfect place for you, man. Really, where is it? We'll be nice to you. We won't just throw you in it. We'll let you down with some cords, but you're going down into the mire." Nasty, stinking, smelling. Lord's like, "Isn't it a blessing serving me? Are you enjoying the trip, Jeremiah?" Oh, you know, you're reading that passage, you find out Jeremiah's like, "I've had enough of this. If this is how you do it, I ain't preaching for you no more." The Lord's like, "Heard this one before. Just checking you out, Jeremiah. You mean a little bit of mud on your feet and up to your shoulders or up at least waist high or so? You mean that's all it takes to get you to quit?" "Wow. I thought you were sold out, Jeremiah."
"That's good preaching.
Elijah, I thought you sold out." "Paul, I thought you were sold out." "Yeah, Lord, there's a couple things I need to do. I realize now I need to count everything but dung. I get it now. I don't expect to be treated any different. Now I know why you sent me to the Gentiles, so I don't get preferential treatment."
"Amen.
You sent me among the Jews, they would recognize my credentials. But you know what you did, Lord? You sent me to the Gentiles to make sure I clearly understood they don't respect your credentials. They could care less about you. And besides that, they despise Jews. Now you go teach those people who you have before hated. And make sure now, Paul, you're no kinder to them than I was to you.
Amen.
Make sure you don't show them any more mercy than I showed you, Paul. And Paul, don't be surprised if they're so upset that they whip you. Because remember, Paul, you did a little whipping yourself.
Right.
In the name of God.
Right.
Paul, don't get upset or bitter when they put you in jail. Remember, Paul, you put some people in jail. That's in your bank account.
Right.
You may not get it all and get it all full for, but hey, Paul, just help you to understand some things. You laid some things up.
Yeah.
You know what Paul does? He goes in those things and he's singing songs. Why? He's being beaten and he's not complaining. He's being mistreated and he's not complaining. Why? He gets it. He understands that God's way of promotion is not the way that we see things. God says, I've got a special thing just for you. Why has all this stuff happened to me? I'm tired of saying to you, I don't know. Here's what I'm going to start saying. I guess maybe God's getting ready to promote you. Because for most of you, now I know some of you, you're just as wicked as the devil. You just have on a church veneer right now. I get that. And so you're going to get the tar knocked out of you sooner or later until he breaks the shell off of you. If you're that dumb, then help yourself. So don't take this message like, yeah, I'm being persecuted because I'm so good. No, you're wicked as the devil. You're being persecuted Amen. Because you're evil.
Amen.
Amen. Satan spawn.
Amen.
But most of you are trying to do right to the best of your ability with what you have right now.
Amen.
And you know what's happened? You've learned along the way. Wow, it just ain't going like I thought it was going to go. I joined that church. I thought they'd have me preaching every Sunday. Singing every time they cranked up the piano. Teaching a class. Recognizing me. Something didn't go that way. Wonder why? God getting ready to promote you. And all of a sudden, you know what happens? You get alienated or you get isolated and you get to looking around and you're going, well, fine. And the Lord's like, easy now there, big fella. I'm only meeting out, distributing out to you because I gave you something when I gave you me.
Amen.
And I said, how are you going to distribute that to others? But you know what you did? You just kept it all to yourself. And so, surprisingly, guess what you find out?
Mm-hmm.
You're like on an island. And the Lord's like, look, here's what I want you to do is distribute what I gave you. I broke the bread. Remember when we had the Lord's Supper?
Amen.
This is my body, which is broken for you. Paul? Yes, sir, Lord. Just telling you now. Don't you be any more broken up for them than I was for you.
Amen.
And Paul, when they mistreat you, don't you be any more forgiving of them than I was for you. I know, Paul, there's time or two of instances, but Paul, those are exceptions. They're not the rule. Paul, I'm telling you, you only give them as much rope as I gave you. You let me take care of the rest. Hey, Paul, what? Bless them that persecute you. They're doing you a favor. What? Bless them that persecute you. They are helping you. They're being a blessing to you by despitefully using you. Paul, pray for them. They're being a blessing. What? Yeah, see, that's my way of promotion. It's down before up. It's cross now. It's crown later.
Amen.
So Paul, the more of that you're involved in, that you didn't stir up yourself, guess what? The better it is for you. Because it'll prepare you for where I'm sending you. Well, preacher, I'm just not getting my way right now. Good. That's a blessing. Because God says, your ways are not my ways.
Amen.
And your thoughts are not my thoughts. This message is a pretty heavy thing when you think about it.
Sure.
Because it sounds like, oh man, so that means we're going to walk out of here and we're going to get the tar knocked out of us. You know one thing I can guarantee you? Sometime in the next while, you're going to get the tar knocked out of you.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Somebody's going to do something. Somebody's going to say something. The bank's going to drop something. Something's going to happen. It's just going to happen. But why not, when we see that happen, go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe the Lord's getting me ready for something and He's really answering my prayer. I just can't see the end of the road right now. I don't know where I'm headed. All I'm going to learn to do is walk by faith. Let me help you with this and I'll close. Too often we come to God, me and you, we come to God with great expectations. We come to God with what we think, if we were God, listen carefully what I'm saying, if we were God, how we would do it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
Well, God, if I was you, because that's what happens to us. We get in a situation and we immediately think we're God because we immediately think, why'd you do this to me? What we just said was, if I was God, I wouldn't do this to me. I wouldn't put me in the pit. I wouldn't put me in prison. I wouldn't put me in the miry clay. I wouldn't send me to the cave. I wouldn't, all the things we talked about. Right? So here's what I want to try to help you with. We're not God. God always knows what's best for His kids. Always. Amen. Always. Everything He does is good.
Amen.
Now, if you're bitter this morning, and if you're listening and you're bitter this morning, you're thinking, I don't care. He ain't got no right to do this to me. Well, He could force it on you, and that's going to prolong it. Because you're just getting bitter instead of going, you know what, God knows better than I do. I need to realize God just did me a favor, and I don't have to understand why. I just need to move on.
That's it.
There's a lot of people that are bitter. Because if they were God, they wouldn't do what's being done to them right now. Right?
Yes, sir.
Let's forget about other people. What about us? Do we have in your mind, are you in your thoughts this morning, well, God, if I was you, I wouldn't do that the way you did it in my life. Instead of God, thank you. I learned some things about me I don't like to look at. But it'll help me to be better next time around when I see this classroom again. How quick we are to quote Romans 8:28. I could have used it in the past week. Me personally. And I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm like, all things work together for good? Are you serious? I must be the one smoking the pipe, man. What? And the Lord said, I said all things. The Lord's killing me. Good, good. You're getting somewhere now. Or I feel like I'm going to die. I'm going to have a blowout, heart attack, something. I'm going to die right here. Good, good, good. Now you're getting somewhere. Now you're getting it. For you to die is gain. But what I want is for you to not die physically. I want you to die to yourself so you can be gained to me now while you're still breathing.
Amen.
So for me, there's things He does in my life that I'm having to learn His promotion process. And I hope what I've said to you this morning will help you with His promotion process. So can you tell me what it's going to be? No. But I can guarantee you're all going to take the test. Ain't that a blessing? You don't want to be left out, do you? But when you take the test, you know what I guarantee you to be? I guarantee you to be something down. Because it's in the valley that you get to know things about Him you never would know anywhere else. People say the view is better from the top of the mountain, not with a Christian. You want to know the view of the Lord now? We'll get to see Him up there, but you really want to get to see what He's all about when you get to the peak there? Valley now. Trouble now. Oh, be so careful when somebody's going through something not to say, oh, that's God judging them. God's doing something to them. God's like, don't be careful. Be careful, man. Right. Think, man, how come they're getting promoted and I'm not?
Amen.
How come God's hammering them and ain't hammering me? We all say, I want to be promoted. The Lord said, get out the hammer. No, I don't want to be promoted that bad. You said you want to be promoted. You want to be great. You want to be magnificent, right? I want to be a great Christian. I want to be a great preacher. I want to be a great missionary. I want to be a great... The Lord said, get the hammer. Is there any other way? No, I can't clap that course. Can't just come to the end and take the test. Get the hammer. Here's the sad part. Right when you think he's done beating you and you're shaped and formed, you realize that was just to knock off the dross. He hadn't even started working on the inner part yet. He had to get rid of all the junk first. Now, I think that's positive. And all y'all are looking at me like, I don't feel like eating. But now I more clearly understand that all these things in my life God's using to make me more pleasing to Him. What could be better than that?
Amen. Amen.
And how about the audacity of me to think I don't need any hammering? How about the arrogance of me to think, I don't need nobody turning no screws on me, man. The Lord said, we got a lot of work to do because you are somewhere I know not of.
Amen, preacher.
So now what I'm trying to do is I see somebody getting hammered. I'm going, Lord, why not me? I said, well, I see something in them. They're ready to get promoted. You can't handle it yet, sonny boy. You want to learn to be a leader like Jesus was a leader? They follow your actions, not your words.
Amen.
Preacher, how do you know that? Every apostle suffered a martyr's death. They followed their mentor. They got it. John 21, Peter, what about it? Yeah, Lord, I got it now. Lord, you know what you do, because now he spake of how Peter shall die. Paul, what's going to happen to you? Head cut off for me, thank you. Why? Well, wouldn't want to go any other way. Paul, you could, no. That's how my boss went, man. That's real living. I tried to get it done early, a little out of his time frame, got myself stoned, went back in the city again. I'm like, yeah, Lord, go ahead. And the Lord's like, I didn't say suicide, sonny boy. I'll kill you when I want to. James, come here, I'm going to cut your head off. Really? Great. What? What is wrong with you people? Man, this is wonderful, man. What are you waiting on, man? Go. Drop the hammer. I'm ready to be conformed to his image for the final time. Give you a different view of suffering? Different view of trials and tribulations?
Yes, sir.
God's not doing anything to hurt you. God's not doing most things even to punish you. You know what he's doing? He's trying to conform you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to say, hey, I want to get promoted? Want a crown? I want a crown, Lord. I have to get out the hammer and nails. I hope that helps you. I hope maybe it's something that instead of when you leave this afternoon to go have your lunch and do whatever you're going to do before we come back tonight, I hope maybe you might, instead of talking about everybody and who didn't do what and who was here and who wasn't there and all that junk that usually happens, that's so superficial. I go to restaurants after church sometimes. Sometimes folks, you know, we get to have some fellowship and sit down and eat and all that kind of stuff. I go. I listen to the other tables. I think, how nauseating. And what must these lost people, you can tell that there's, you know, people there in the shirt and tie, you know, they're in church, and they've got tracks in their pocket and stuff like that. And here's these lost people over here, and they got beer on the table and all this other kind of stuff and that kind of a deal. And they're over there talking about the ball game and who's going to do this and who's going to do that and all that. And then over here's a bunch of Christians in there talking about, I can't believe he said that. Did you see her in there? My God, what she was wearing. Walking in there like a prancing poodle. I don't know. Some preacher ought to say something about that. I don't want my kids a-seeing that old hussy like that. And those lost people are looking around like, yeah, that's right there why I don't go to church. Because of that right there. I don't have to go to church to be a hypocrite. So I hope when you go sit at the table, you think, man, that's something to think about. God's way of promotion is through the dirt. Down first. Whew. Maybe it'll give you something to help you to understand some of the messes you're in. Let's stand together, be dismissed. Sorry I ran on a little bit. 10 minutes there past the, I said I was done. If you're visiting with us, we're very, very glad to have you. We hope and pray you'll come back and see us again. And those of you that have the flu, and a lot of them are watching by way of the thing up there, we hope you get well and get back among us. And Brother Brown, you'll be headed back today, but we appreciate you very much.